This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What a tweet from Schefter. What a tweet from Schefter. Sources. Kevin Stefanski is out as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. After moving on from Cleveland, Stefanski is now expected to be one of the top candidates in the hiring cycle.
We did this, what, Monday or Tuesday? We counted eight jobs. We know there's a job in Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, and Atlanta.
Yeah, we kind of ended in that 7 to 10 range.
Yeah.
But yeah, the high end, there was like 10 possible, you know, openings that could have come up. We'll see.
Yeah, so Stefanski out in Cleveland is...
It's not going to be as many as we always think, is it?
No.
Well, I'm surprised it's this late. We only had one today.
Is Harb still going to be there?
I would assume...
Is that the blockbuster trade we look out for this spring?
Sick.
Is Lamar?
Oh, Lamar. I was thinking maybe Harbaugh being traded to the Giants.
Or both.
The coach, yeah.
Or to the Chiefs. We need a special teams coordinator.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, Dave Tobe is still here. Did he get fired?
Right.
But, you know, like I am I'm surprised it hasn't been quicker. Maybe it's still kind of early, though. It's only 9:20 on the East Coast, and so maybe in the next, you know, half hour or so, we start to see more names. Is Aaron Glenn set to come back in New York, or is that one that
he's going to come back?
Okay.
I don't know why, but I think.
What about Cincinnati?
That's one that I expect to be done. Arizona, Jonathan Gannon, another one I'd expect to end
mm-hmm.
it.
Vegas.
Yep.
I don't know if Pete comes back.
It's a big talking point.
Yeah.
They
talked a lot about it in that game yesterday.
They did.
Especially moving on from Geno, moving on from Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
You have the number one overall pick. We assume, I don't know for sure, but I would assume Mendoza probably goes number one overall if things go well.
Cardinals?
Mac was talking about this in the break.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon, yeah.
With, Gannon and Cardinals. He smacked a player. He's gone. No life in that guy. None. But you talk about college football playoffs. You think the winner, not only the winner between Oregon and Indiana, is the national championship winner, but also whoever wins that game is the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think at least whoever plays better is what I'll say. Whoever performs better, I think it's going to be between Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. Dante Moore is not technically declared yet for the draft, but I believe he will after this season. And even with the not declaring, he's second and not far behind Mendoza. I imagine with a good performance and declaring, he'll probably be the number one pick.
What is he making in college?
It's a great question.
Probably a lot of money in Oregon.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Like,
I
mean, obviously you're going to make more in the NFL, but is it worth it to play one more year in college and not have the bearing of the NFL and make $8, $10 million a year, you know, being the quarterback at Oregon, too? I mean, you have to factor that in.
Yes, it's worth it to me. Yeah. Yes, that's worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I would have another year of fun in college. I'll make $1.5 million. I'll be the king of Eugene and kill it, and then I'll go next year.
Yeah, right.
If I tear my ACL, fine. I'll go late in the first round. Stuff happens, but, like, I'll come back.
People tear their ACLs all the time and come back in the NFL,
yes.
Right? It's not that big a deal. I think now...
We're about to see that story.
Exactly.
In Kansas City.
Exactly.
Damn right.
And you know, the way that I look at it now is if you're making, like this kid at BYU or whatever, is making $8 million to play college basketball for a year, right? Or...
Shout out Crumble Cookie.
You know, if you're Oregon, maybe you get into a bidding war and you know, in college football now. Yeah, I'll stay for one more year, but you're going to have to make it worth my while. Like, those are other things that I don't know how many people are thinking about right now. Like, you want to keep me, I'm thinking about, you know, going into the NBA or the NFL draft.
To kind of piggyback on that with NIL, you win a title and come back, you'd think that you'd get more NIL money?
I would think so, yeah. A lot more.
Whereas, like, in the old days, like, you win a title, what else do you have to prove?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Now it's time
you
to
win
leave.
A title.
Yeah,
yeah,
now all of a sudden
point.
You're like, you got national champion quarterback, you know?
All,
like,
those local businesses are going to be forking up the cash. You stay here, man. Yeah, exactly.
Not only that, you're going to have Phil Knight going to say, hey, let's win two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know, like, I mean, so that factors in as well. So it'll be interesting to see how all these kids ultimately play this and see if there are ways to make it worthwhile for these kids to stay in school a little bit longer. I don't know that there is, but, you know, you got a chance to go to the NFL. You probably should take it. But I wouldn't hate on him if he decided to make $8 million a year playing for Oregon one more season.
Satisfied with the Final Four in college football?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I mean, it took long enough to get there, but you're fine with these four.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I mean, obviously, I would have liked to see Ohio State in there and doing their thing, but I mean, you got a great story in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You've got really a great story in Oregon, too. Yeah. A great story in Ole Miss. And, you know, Miami is always looked at as like a power anyway, you know, whether or not they are. Everybody looks at Miami and goes, ooh, the big bad Miami Hurricanes.
But
and
not for a while. It's been since the early 2000s when Miami was kind of considered.
But they're still that brand, you know?
Sure, yeah.
You know?
And so, they got rebranded with the NIL stuff and obviously all that.
Yeah,
that
I'm
pours
good
into that school. It's just, will you be as satisfied, do you think, with the NFC and AFC championship? As you are with college football?
Probably.
Because the storylines may not be there that we know of yet.
They'll develop over the next week or so. Like, what do you think the biggest storyline is going into the playoffs this year?
Josh Allen.
Okay. Yeah. It's time for them to win. I think that's number one, and I think Mike Tomlin is number two as well.
I think the biggest thing I saw was no Burrow, no Lamar, Josh Allen, time's yours.
Time is yours.
No pun intended, but like that's what it was that I saw a ton of, and then it was kind of like the subpar stories were Stafford, can you win a second? McVay, can you build your legacy with the Rams?
Yeah.
What can all these, you know, other coaches do that are in the playoffs? Like, you know, the guy in Jacksonville, Liam Cohen, here you are. Seattle, can you actually prove with Sam Darnold? That's a storyline as well. So there's a lot of those that develop as well. Plus, you have the Broncos as the number one seed. And beginning of the year, a lot of people said this might be the best team roster-wise on defense and offense, and they went through the season, they got the number one seed, and then there's Vrabel in New England. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, but what will be the final four stories that develop? We get into some stories now with our sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network, Mr. Josh Klingler.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klinger with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Watson, yes!
You think Kling's ever been to K&B Funtown?
I don't know, Josh. Did you ever take the kids to K&B Funtown in Parkville like Spectre did over the weekend?
No. Sounds like a good time. I must have missed that one.
Yeah, we had a text
earlier. But plenty of Sky Zone and the roller rink, which hasn't changed since we were kids.
No.
Probably our parents were kids.
That roller rink
has not changed one bit.
No, nope. What's the name of your guys' roller rink?
Skate City, over
City,
there,
man.
69 and you know whatever that is, 103rd over
Skate
there,
City.
And it still smells like 1975 in there. And I'm sure there's a hot dog on the roller from 1975.
And then you skate to the corner when the music stops, and you can win your class a class party or something. Ooh. I don't know.
Yeah, see the skating rink in Blue
changed
Spring.
In good 70 years probably.
Yeah, the skating rink in Blue Springs is called Rink Rats with a Z. So, Kling, I'm dead serious. Shout out Rink Rats.
Shout out Spectre for going to K&B Funtown.
Yeah, so that's
weekend,
we got that question on the text line, which you know can be also awesome at times.
Ask Josh the question.
And it said, do you guys get mobbed by nerds when you go out in public? Because you should have seen all the guys swarming Steven Spectre at K&B Funtown this weekend. LOL.
Wow. I don't know if they're nerds, but I mean, yeah, I get plenty of people that want to talk Chiefs pretty much everywhere you go. So yeah, that's fine. It's part of the deal. That's fun.
What's the number one question you're getting now, Josh?
Well, it's been Kelce for like a couple weeks now after they were eliminated. Like, is Kelce coming back? Is Kelce coming back? I was part of the mob that talked to him last night. Small mob, very small mob. But he shook everybody's hand when we were done. So I was like, okay, is this just, it might have been our last interaction. I don't know. I still don't know. I don't know. I'm guessing he knows, but he's kept it pretty much under his hat. But I guess, yeah, it's been the Kelce question. And to me, the answer I give to everybody is the same. Like, he can still play. And I know he doesn't have anything left to prove, and he doesn't have anything really left to accomplish. I mean, he passed him like another milestone, you know, yesterday, 13,000 yards, and passed T.O. on the catches list. And so he could continue to kind of do those things. So he's got, like, no accomplishments to finish up, but he can still play. And we know that once you walk, despite what we saw from Phillip Rivers, and maybe for a brief stretch for Gronk, like, it's hard to come back, and that window's closed forever. And so I think you got to be sure you're finished before you go, because you're always going to be wondering what if, and it's a very limited career, obviously, for professional athletes. And so, you know, I hope he thinks, you know, long and hard about it. And I'm guessing the hard part is not the games. It's everything in between, getting to OTAs and training camp and doing the everyday thing and the workouts before you even get there. So if he feels like he wants to do that, he still has the ability. So, so we'll see. I can't imagine that decision is going to be very long. If not, you know, when did they record the podcast?
Wednesday,
Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday or whatever. I mean, we may know before the end of the week. I don't know.
Do you think that, and maybe this has already happened, but has he pulled you aside and asked what it was like walking away at the top of your game like you did from here?
Oh, jeez. No, he is not. Bob.
I thought maybe he wanted advice. Hey, you left when you were at your best. Do you have any advice for me? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you left for left for high school kids and tennis, and he might leave for sourdough and podcast.
And I'm still working too. So yeah, I don't know that I'm the best person to ask.
So Travis is not. Well, do you think? What do you think happens first? Okay, there's three options here. Travis announces, the Royals decide whatever the hell they're going to do, and St. Patrick's Day. Which happens first?
What was the third one?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day. I thought you said something about Patrick.
No.
Let's see. Travis beats them all.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. You think so?
I think Travis is soon. I think he's gonna give the Chiefs as much time as possible. So I gotta think that one's coming really quick. I don't know. I don't know why I think that, but and I don't, you know, the Royals, I don't know.
Nobody
I'm still asked about that stuff all the time, and I just say, just listen to Fesco and Dusty, because I'm out of that stadium game, man.
Do you get asked about it?
Thankfully.
Do you get asked about it at K&B Funtown? I kid.
K&B Funtown is going to be packed today, and they're not going to know why.
We're talking to Josh Klinger, the sideline.
They're getting free ads.
Yeah,
awesome.
Dude. Talking to Josh Kling, the sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs, brought to you by K&B Funtown. Kling, who was your MVP this season for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, wow. You know, everybody had a hand in this thing. That was the hard part, right? I mean, you saw, like, little glimpses of things here and there, but, you know, was there anybody that was, like, super steady throughout? I don't know. Maybe it's Creed Humphrey, because he played the whole time. Like,
right.
Creed Humphrey was still playing the last 3 weeks. Like, then I would have, like, you know, thrown up the flag and said, could somebody come get me now? Like, I'm the only one still out here doing this thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it was Creed Humphrey. No, but I think, you know, despite the fact that it was not the season anybody wanted, I'll give credit to kind of the core guys. Like Nick Bolton never slowed down. You know, Chris Jones was out there at the very end of yesterday's game, even. Creed Humphrey, kind of same thing. Kelce, the same thing. So those guys that kind of gutted through it when they didn't have anything to prove, and they certainly have been through the good and had to kind of eat some of the bad. So I guess I'm kind of giving credit to those guys for hanging in there and doing their thing, despite the fact that all told it was not very good. This Andy versus the West. Remember my Andy versus the West handwritten chart that I've had, Fesco?
Yeah.
This season looks gross on that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that they finished 1-5 against the AFC West, because that had been such kind of a badge of honor, and to have that, you know, come to crashing halt. That's another thing that kind of circles back to me to Kelce. Like, so you don't want to go out like this. Like, I've seen all kinds of tweets about, you know, how bad the Chiefs have been since blah blah blah, and like Kelce's face has been plastered a couple of them. I'm like, man, like, do you want to wear that? I know there's going to be a bunch of change. I'm not pushing Travis out the door. I think there's plenty of other changes that need to happen, and if Kelce wants to stay a part of it, I'm cool with that.
What kind of changes do you think need to happen with this team?
Well, I think I saw a list that Chiefs are among the league leaders in free agents, which isn't a bad thing. I think if you want to turn things over, that you have a bunch of expiring contracts. I think there will be coaching changes, and I don't think that even is necessary in a negative way. I think there were guys that stuck around as they were winning that probably could find themselves, certainly on the defensive side of the football, probably could warrant themselves some added titles or some promotions, that type of thing. So I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case. I can't imagine that, you know, that Matt Nagy and Tennessee doesn't happen, because obviously that's a former Chiefs assistant GM. So assuming Nagy wins over the ownership group, I can't imagine he doesn't get the job. I mean, it just feels like that one seems too natural. Like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have him down as a guy coming in for an interview that's been a head coach that you have personal relationship with that wouldn't be the front runner for that gig. So you're probably in line for some offensive changes, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. Get some fresh voices in there and see what changes can happen. And then, yeah, anybody who'd been kind of holding out that maybe could have found themselves in a little bit different role, maybe higher up with a different team, might have the opportunity now to jump.
Are Spags and Andy a package deal? Like, they'll go out together, they'll stay together. Do you see Spags possibly taking something?
I don't know. I mean, I know it hasn't happened today, but I thought it'd be happening a lot faster. Like, probably as we were speaking, there'd be like 3-4 more openings, but I mean, how many are there going to be?
I think there's 5 or 6, and we kind of counted earlier. It could be anywhere from 7 to 10.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a lot of gigs, and you know, I don't know if Steve Spagnuolo has his name come up for one of those, and he wants to take one more shot at it. I wouldn't if I were him. Like, he's the greatest defensive coordinator maybe in NFL history at this point, right? Or most accomplished. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this was always what cracks me up around the hiring cycle. Like, I saw these stories too, where they were like, well, this isn't a great hiring cycle for head coaches. Like, how the hell do you know? Like, we try these coordinators every year and we don't know if they're going to be good head coaches or not. And there's plenty of people that are great coordinators that are just not going to be good head coaches. And that's absolutely fine. So, if I were Steve Spagnuolo, yeah, I'd be kind of the package, maybe not the package deal with Andy, but like, this is going to be my last job. And if it happens to be the same time Andy Reid is, so be it, but have this be his final destination if I were him. But, you know, he may want to chase a head coaching thing one more time. I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and you know, bringing in a different offensive voice. To me, that is not Eric Bieniemy, and that is not Mike Kafka. If you're bringing in a different voice, you're bringing in a legitimate different voice. I'd bring in Brian Daboll. I'd bring in somebody who has no sort of connection to this Andy Reid tree, because everybody wants change. Bringing back, you know, Eric Bieniemy or Mike Kafka, that's not change. That's just washing and repeating and doing the same thing. I think what Andy really needs to do this offseason is bring in, I hate to use the term dissenting voice, but somebody that's going to come in and challenge him.
Yeah, I don't know what the full likelihood of that would be. For me, it sounds great up here, but you're like, yeah, I want to bring in somebody I kind of know. Like, so maybe it's not direct, but indirect descendant of your coaching tree, like someone you coached with who coached this person, or maybe it's one of these head coaches that gets let go that comes back as a coordinator, that type of thing, or somebody maybe off of somebody else's tree that you've another coaching staff where you're like, I really like what they do offensively. Something like that would be cool. Like, just some kind of fresh ideas and different ideas. And yeah, not necessarily the, well, I went somewhere for a year or two and learned something different and coming back. I get it. That doesn't seem very fresh right to me either. So, I would like to see certainly somebody to come and help with maybe the discipline aspect of things. I think that was kind of the most frustrating thing, certainly offensively, like the lack of discipline. I know Dana has pointed this out quite a bit with the wide receivers, and he gets, obviously it was his position in the NFL, so he gets a little defensive. Like, he was just been frustrated with the lack of discipline at the wide receiver position and maybe the not having definitive roles really for anybody at this point in time. And so that feels like an area that needs some fresh ideas. Like, how do you motivate the wide receivers? How do you train the right wide receivers? How do you, to, you know, maybe bring out the number one in Rashee Rice, hopefully, and being okay with the number two for Xavier Worthy, and finding, you know, like, definitively finding ways to use the skill sets of the guys you have. So if there's somebody that's got those kind of fresh ideas, I think I'd be welcome to that. And then however you're going to incorporate the run game in it, and still you're still going to need somebody that pounds their fist on the table. I know that happened behind the scenes. That you know there were people advocating for running the football. So still having somebody that's got a voice to be able to do that, to say, you know, you have to be able to successfully run the football as well. So, yeah, any ideas are open. I'm not saying, you know, Andy Reid has to give up play calling and do those things. He's too far along in his career to say you shouldn't be doing any of that. But, you know, he's always been a guy that's been willing to innovate at times. I think we saw it a few years ago, really, with Patrick Mahomes, right?
Like,
they didn't make Patrick Mahomes take the ball under center because kids in college weren't taking the ball under center. So he went and did some things that were different, and he made sure he was ahead of the curve on that. So hopefully he's willing to do that type of thing again, because I think maybe the biggest thing we'll look back on was maybe how stale the offense got and at times how predictable the offense got this year.
All right, Kling, 10 seconds. Give me your hottest Chiefs take going into the offseason.
Oof. I don't want it to be this, but they take like an offensive guy at number 9.
Even if it's a 6'5 receiver.
I guess I wouldn't completely argue with that, but man, I'm leaning. Even though the defense did their job for most of the year, I mean, they were like top 5 in points, right? Like, I still feel like, nope, let's load up on some defensive guys in the draft.
Because they
can't help themselves, and there's a skill guy at number 9 they can't say no to. Yeah.
I think with the defense, to me, they just always looked a step slow this year. That's why.
Yeah. They do need more speed. I watch these other defenses, and I'm like, wow, they're kind of flying around. And I think the Chiefs defense was solid, but not as speedy as it needs to be.
All right, Kling. Well, we'll do it again next year and enjoy the time off for the first time in, 10 years.
Let me write that thing down. What was it?
K&B Fun Town in Parkville, yes.
Okay, K&B.
Yeah, enjoy your off season there.
Socks like batteries, not included.
You should see the socks I found downstairs in the basement, Josh.
All righty. Well, Kling, we appreciate it. Take care, and we'll talk to you again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, later, guys.
Later. That's Josh Klinger there. Coming up on the other side, who are you pulling for in the NFL playoffs? We'll discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.